Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 531, Community Stream Recap, recorded live on March 10th, 2016. Hello everyone, welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And I'm Godzilla Todd.
And welcome back to Pod Tackler. This is episode 531, and we are back after our Operation Supply Drop stream, which was so long, so hard. This was a big endeavor for me, but we made it, or I made it, through 36 hours. Actually, it was a full 48-hour period of getting only 2.5 hours of sleep, so I'm happy that's over. But it was still a good event anyways. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Had a lot of good people come on by and participate with us. We had some good stream hosts for us, and we had some good content creators make some stuff for us for the stream as well. So everything went pretty well for the Operation Supply Drop stream. So we're happy it turned out well. We're happy that everyone had a good time with it. And we're probably going to do it again at some point in the future. But yeah, did either of you guys get to check out any of the action at all?
I didn't. I was extremely busy. Like, it's horrible as it sounds. I had a lot of stuff piled on my plate last weekend, including some personal stuff I had to take care of. But I did see a lot of people tweeting about it, and it seemed like a lot of people were having a really good time with it. So it was... It looked like a real big success. I can't state whether or not what the stream was like, because I wasn't around, sadly.
Yeah. GT, how about you?
Oh, I watched 3 or 4 hours of it off and on. I caught a little piece of each section. I was also busy doing things that I needed to do because it was warm outside, and it's been very cold for a very long time. So I was doing a little catch up.
Good.
But all in all, I was really impressed with the stream. It looked like you guys had a lot of fun, especially on the customs section.
Yes. Ready Up Live actually did the customs for us, and I didn't get to participate in all of it. I don't think I actually participated in any of the customs, because I was getting the trying to get the Griffball teams finalized, and it looked like they had a lot of fun, and Rebel Rouser was the host for the stream. It was supposed to be an Ulta at first, but he got busy, so Rebel Rouser actually picked up doing the hosting responsibilities, and it seemed like everyone had a fun time. So I'm glad that everyone had a good session with them. And then we also had some customs that we did a little bit on Sunday night too, as we wrapped up the stream as well. But yeah, customs was a lot of fun. I think another fun part for a lot of people was Warzone. Funny story is the people that we had to do the Warzone segment for us, we actually ran into them in matchmaking for our Warzone Wednesdays.
Oh, nice.
And we got completely steamrolled.
Yeah, they went like 11 cores straight, didn't they?
I believe so.
That's crazy.
I watched like 3 games and then I had to leave, and they just, one right after the other, they just blew straight to the core.
I've had a lot of interesting games like that lately. Like, let it be our team that was going in there or the enemy team. It seems like people are starting to understand that that's what people need to do. So, like, at least just for right, like for those instances. But a lot of people seem to be going after their cores a lot more than ready, like, rather than just hanging around getting kills and stuff like that. I don't know.
Well, except for the ones that like to camp outside your base and get kills.
Yeah, see, now that's annoying. I've ran into several instances of that, and that. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't mind that a team steamrolls you and goes straight for the core. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Just don't hang outside and milk kills.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say on that, but because that just makes it no fun for anybody. But yeah, I was I watched that, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to play against them. It's very much bad.
Yeah. But they were very, like, very positive about it. And whenever they were done, I got messages from a few of the members saying good game and that they were happy to be on the stream. And I have a feeling we'll probably do a lot more cross company stuff with them in the future.
definitely. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it was really cool to work with him too. I actually got a message from Sarge over there, and he messaged me on our under our Spartan Company form, or just a PM, and he actually threw up a link to some stuff that they have on their website, and they actually have this detailed strategy for every single Warzone map on how to approach it, how to best play a map. So if you're wanting to get good at Warzone, first of all, you have to play with 12. You've got to play with the full squad in order to be very...
No randoms.
Yeah. In order to be very effective, you have to play with a squad. And they break your squad down into four groups of three. So there's like an attacking squad. There's a like an AI control squad. There is a like a mid-tier squad. And there's a defending squad. So there's four squads responsible for different parts of... During the whole Warzone game. And if you want more information, definitely check it out. You can go to halowheelman.com and find out a bunch of different strategy guys that they have up there for each map. But they were a lot of fun to have on. I think it was probably one of the more entertaining parts to watch, because I think at one point they were trying to get a sub 10, like the other team less than 10 kills, and we would do a giveaway. And they actually got down. I think their best match of the evening was 8 to 1,000.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Yes. And remember that we had the one war zone a couple of weeks ago that was 0 to 1,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. But wasn't half that team like AFK?
Yeah. They started to, a lot of them started to move around after, like once people started to get into the core, you saw a lot more people moving. But for the first 2-3 minutes of that match, people were not moving. That game lasted, I think, 3.5 minutes or so for the 0 to 1,000 game. But it happened. Mathematically, that should be nearly impossible, but it still happened.
You run into several instances on those type of games, it seems.
Yeah. And I think just a few days prior to that 0 to 1,000, there was a 1,000 to 1 game. So
I've been in a couple of those games. It was mainly with Unishek, because he's absolutely nuts at that game mode, I should say. But we've ran into there and we completely trashed the opposite team. I think the lowest score we had was 1,000 to 11 was our lowest score that we got. Well, highest, lowest, whatever. But yeah, it's when you get in those games, though, you get into that mindset of where everyone starts communicating and stuff like that. It gets intense. Like, it gets really intense really quick. I was really surprised when I ran into that kind of stuff. Like, I didn't really think Warzone would be that kind of crazy intense with, you know, strategy and stuff. But It gets up there.
Oh, definitely. With Warzone, it can get very competitive very quickly. You just have to know how to play. And again, the big part of it is squad, but then knowing how to approach certain aspects of Warzone, and it's also very map specific too. Knowing how to control the map is crucial, because there have been cases where, as a company for our Warzone Wednesday, we've gone in with a full 12, but we still get steamrolled just because not everyone that we're playing with is super knowledgeable about knowing where to go, what to do, what things are priority and what things you just ignore type of thing. So if you really want to get good at Warzone, you can. It can be very competitive, which I hope at some point there is Warzone customs. That way there could be like a Warzone league.
That'd be interesting.
I think that would be very interesting for Halo.
Definitely. Custom Warzone games, I can see that being a lot of fun.
Just imagine doing a 30-minute or an hour-long Warzone game.
No, I've played those.
How awesome would that be?
I would like it, but if it gets to the point to where it's constantly tedious, though, I wouldn't want to play it. Like, if you're going in there and you're getting really close, like really, really close to where, and then something happens to where there's a cheap shot or something like that. I've come games where they were extremely long, and I just wanted them to end.
Well, that's the beauty of customs. You can just end the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If one team just is getting wrecked, then, you know. But I'm just thinking back to the days where in Halo CE or Halo 2, you would do 2 to 4 hour games of Capture the Flag, just normal Capture the Flag on Blood Gulch or Coagulation, because it would take that long to play a normal CTF game.
Yeah.
And it is hella fun. So I'm just thinking possibly for Warzone, that would be something that would be interesting to do. Anyways, so a little bit has happened since we've been kind of gone planning for Operation Supply Drop and everything. Not too much in terms of new stuff, but we did have the Hammerstorm update drop, and we haven't talked about it too much because the last time we had a chance to talk about it, it had just come out. So what do you guys think of the update? What do you guys think of Griffball? What do you guys think of Fiesta and having Rochambeau finally fixed and Assault and the new map? What do you guys think of everything?
I already missed Fiesta.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
It's too bad it was only a short-term playlist, because it was a lot of fun.
It was a full week, at least.
Yeah, it was. But a week is not enough. But I had really good games, and I had really bad games. That's one thing about Fiesta. It's random luck that determines who wins the match. I mean, don't get me wrong. Player skill does play a part in it, but man, most of it is just random luck.
I don't know. It feels like it's random luck for the first minute and a half of the game, and then there's enough power weapons laying around the map where you just know what power weapons you have, you know how to control it, and you know where to go to find a power weapon, and you control the map that way.
Yeah, unless the other four people on your team quit.
Yeah, that's always
fun. That could be an issue. Yeah.
I did manage to finish 21-50.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had a few pretty much blowout games. The other thing about the Fiesta playlist too, which I hope they bring it back soon, because it was definitely a good chance to work on weapon commendations. I believe I finished at least three level 5 weapon commendations. So those are done.
Nice.
And then when Halo tweeted out that there was a sniper playlist, I turned on my Xbox and I'm like, no, Fiesta is gone. I can't just like pound through weapon combinations, because it was the perfect place to do it. It really was. You just grind out on Fiesta, and you know which weapons that you need to get combinations for, and you go through them quick.
Yeah.
Takes a while, but you go through them quick. I think throughout this week, there was two or three nights where I think I played a total of maybe 6 to 8 hours of Fiesta and made a lot of progress on my weapon commendations, to where everything now is at least level 3, and I have a good number of them that are already level 4s, and I'm just working on completing level 5s.
Unfortunately, I was unable to put that amount of time into Fiesta this week. I think I got maybe a total of 30 games, and that's about it.
I barely got that.
Well, hopefully it comes back soon.
I mean, like, the couple of games that I got in for Fiesta, I had a lot of fun playing it. And, like, it brought that social experience that I wanted in Halo 5, because when we played, I played with a couple of friends, which was nice for once, not going in there getting all sweaty, so to speak. It was a nice feel for Halo 5, and I did quite well most of the time. I don't know why. Like, granted, you pick up a weapon or something, you're not going to do very well with it, but most of the time, I was usually pretty much on top of the leaderboards every time. It was a nice way of, like, feeling that power weapon. You get a lot of practice out of it, and that was something that my buddy actually brought up that was actually really interesting. He goes, a lot of people that play Halo 5 never had the power weapon experience yet. Like, apart from Warzone, like, they don't really have, like, they never really got a feel for it. And I didn't really think about that until, like, I was actually playing. I'm like, no, you're right. Like, you don't usually, you know, play with the rocket launcher or the fuel rod or just all these different power weapons themselves. Like, usually, I very rarely get like rocket launchers or anything like that. I usually get sniper most of the time because that's my aimed weapon. But he put that in out of perspective that I never really thought about.
It's actually a good point. I know for me, whenever I call in the power weapon, it's for a very specific purpose. So I'll call in a fuel rod to take out the core. I'll call in a railgun if I need some extra firepower to get rid of a nuisance. Or I'll call in a Spartan laser if I'm trying to take out a legendary boss. So there's a lot of points where those power weapons for me in Warzone are very situational.
Yeah.
So you don't get that power weapons experience in Fiesta. Although it did kind of suck because there is a spanker weapon combination that the spanker wasn't in Fiesta. But
yeah,
it is what it is. Hopefully there will be a hammer combination soon, because there is not one of those.
The hammer? Like, so now we're talking about the hammer feels so good.
Yeah.
I love it so. Oh man, Griff Ball's fun.
Yeah,
I will say that, and like it's one of those things where you're used to Griff Ball being, you know, Griff Ball swords, hammers, ball in the middle, and you usually expect the same thing. Usually, pretty much most of the time, there's very rare instances where there's some really weird combination you have to look out for. Like Halo 4 kind of started doing it, but in Halo 5, you got to be open minded with it, and you gotta keep a watch out, because I've ran into some games where I was surprised, like you know, ground pounded from nowhere, it seemed, or just completely random situations that I never really was prepared for in that game type. So it's really cool to see it has a real new fresh feel to it, which is nice.
And the other thing with Griffball too, just to point it out there for anyone that's going to be signing up for the GGL, which I did put out a post on our warboards on the Waypoint Spartan Company forums asking if anyone wanted to sign up for a Griffball team, and I didn't get any responses back. So I tried, but anyone that's going to be in the league, they're actually using some different settings than the normal settings. So the ball carrier or the runner is not going to have the ability to ground pound because of just how much abuse it has gotten from matchmaking. But there is going to be, I think it's still just one thruster. I think they're still kind of messing around with the idea of either doing one or two thrusters. And I think that's the same. There's a couple other things that are different. They're obviously going back to a round-based thing. So it's going to be the best of nine rounds. So like similar to Breakout for Griffball. And that's been traditional. So that's changing as well. Instead of just doing it same round scoring where the ball responds, they're going to do the rounds there. There's a couple of small things they've tweaked as well, but that is happening. Registration actually ends tonight when we're recording this. So if you haven't, if you're listening to this recorded, then registration is already closed. But the first Halo 5 Griffball League is coming up, which is going to be exciting. And I'm happy to see what comes out of it. They've already started making some montage videos, and they already have a What is Halo 5 Griffball video up on their channel as well. So Griffball Hub and Halo 5 Griffball is finally in full swing.
It's nice to see.
Yay!
What'd you say, Pio?
It's really nice to see Griffball starting to get in the spotlight again, because it had to have been irritating knowing that there was a game out there that everyone's playing and your game type that you're your entire
your whole community's
on.
Based on.
Yeah, like it's not in there. So I'm sure it's really cool to see them kind of flourish now.
Yeah, I'm very happy for them. They're going to be... I hope that it wasn't too long to where a lot of the teams right now just kind of have dissipated, because Griffball did reach kind of a good apex of teams going through Halo 4, even though Halo 4 wasn't quite as popular of a game overall. They did have a crazy number of people come out for Halo 4 Griffball. So I know that's been kind of on the back burner for a while, and I don't know how many teams are still around. From kind of what I gathered for Griffball Hub, a lot of teams are still kind of there and loyal to Griffball, so I have a feeling there's going to be quite a few there, but it's probably not going to be 100% for at least the first season. And they're still going to be working kinks out with game modes and everything else as well. But I'm excited to see what's going to come of this season, and we'll probably touch base with them every now and then to get league updates and whatnot. But it's good to see them back at it. It's good to see Griffball Hub and Griffball back at the forefront of some Halo news for a change.
For sure.
Definitely go check them out if you haven't. They actually did a tournament for us during our Spartans for Troops live stream. So huge thanks to them. I think we had overall 11 or 12 teams sign up, and they hosted, they managed the bracket, they commentated. So it was great. Huge thanks to them for doing that, of course. And while we're on the topic of tournaments, I wanted to get this out a week into registration for Drunken Halo, but they had already filled up by that time. But this past week, Drunken Halo started their 1v1 tournament play. So that's something that's another kind of tournament related community thing. And it's been one of the, they've been doing this pretty often now. And I think it's kind of become a staple of Drunken Halo where they do these 1v1 tournaments. So I definitely recommend you guys check them out. They're streaming, they're at least streaming one game per week because they have it on a weekly series. And most of the people that are playing are streaming their games. So you can just head on over to their Facebook group and you can see who's streaming. But it's been something that's kind of become a small staple in the Halo community. So it's cool to see them doing that as well. And shout outs to Justin from Drunken Halo for actually being on our podcast segment for the live stream as well. We didn't get to do exactly what we wanted for the podcast. I wanted to have a couple of vets on to actually talk about their experience with how Operation Supply Drop has benefited them, get some ideas of what it means for Operation Supply Drop to do these things for people that have been on the front lines or have been on the receiving end of these gaming care packages. Unfortunately, that didn't filter out. No one was available at the time, so hopefully we can get that some point down the road as an update to that. But we did do a small podcast segment. It was kind of a reiteration of what we did with them back when we had them on last month before the stream, but we did have a little section of that, and Justin was kind enough to be available and be on the podcast there, so that was a lot of fun. And our last host for the live stream event, which we haven't covered yet, was Duquesne23, who actually did 2.5 hours, 3 hours of race maps. And there are some pretty good race maps. It's going to be great when the race game type finally comes out.
I didn't get to see any of his race maps. Did he have any theme ones that he made? Or
I think he was working on Yoshi's Island. Was that his project?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I know that's something that he's working on.
Yeah, so that was the one he started with. That was the one he showcased. And then there was, I forget the names, but there were some other race forgers that he had mentioned that he also pulled up as well. And there are some really good maps.
Yeah, the Forge community in general is just throwing out stuff that is just absolutely insane this time around. Like, it still blows my mind the amount of, like, the imagination that the Forgers have this time is just nuts. Like, things that I never even thought of being a thing. Like, someone fully remade a full-scale replica of their dorm room in college and made it into a map.
Yes.
I was I saw blown that away. One. I was like, holy.
And there are some interesting Forge pieces in here that make a lot of these things possible. It's crazy to see some of the stuff that comes out. And I haven't looked into Forge that much, but just to take a look at some of the stuff that's being made and just be like, I didn't even know this stuff existed in Forge, let alone be able to be created in Forge.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. We've seen some really impressive stuff in past Halo games before, but I don't think anything can touch what people have created this time around. Like, I honestly think that. I mean, they even live streamed one of the Forge creation. I can't remember the name. Reaper. That's what it was. Like, you were standing on a D-pad and you could control.
Oh, yes. Suit. Yeah, Reaper. Yep.
Yeah, that's called Reaper.
Yeah, that blew my mind. Like, it wasn't anything extremely spectacular, but it was a game type that we've never seen before. And that's what was really interesting to see.
That one was just insane. The scripting, granted, there are some other things that a lot of the Forgers have asked for in terms of scripting that could be added, but even with what is there now, the scripting part is so powerful. Like, this Forge blows, and well, take that back. Nothing beats original Forge because you have the nostalgia of the original Forge, and some people like the nostalgia of having to merge things into the floor or whatnot. So there's always that small part, but you take that out of the picture, all the Forges combined pale in comparison to what Halo 5's Forge is. It's just ridiculous.
And it
most definitely.
And the thing that really makes me wonder too is like, we're seeing all this stuff now. It really makes me wonder, and like, we've just got this game. But if we're seeing all this crazy stuff now, I wonder what the next iteration of Forge is going to be like. Like, it really makes you wonder what's next on the list of things that they have planned for Forge.
They copy paste, not the action, but just the Forge, and then improve from there. Don't go through and rebuild Forge again. The version they have is updatable.
Yeah, no, I don't think they'll ever go backwards. I don't think they can. Like, once they hit that mark of being able to implement things on a regular basis, it would send them back to the Stone Age, so to speak, if they did that.
The funny thing is, with Halo 5, it almost feels like the platform is robust enough to where they could basically make Halo 6 on Halo 5's engine. It seems that robust. Because
they absolutely could.
Because they can add so much stuff already with multiplayer and everything. I mean, granted, the UI would probably get a redesign and all that stuff on the front end, but on like the base code level, they went through a like massive rewrite for this. And it is almost like you just paved the way for like the groundwork for a lot of other Halo titles in the future, to where now you really are just focusing on fine-tuning the engine and working on the actual content for the game, the story of the game, the art of the game, and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, that's something that me and my buddy were arguing back and forth about. I mean, we may argue it on here. Halo was never a game where the graphics were, like, when the graphics weren't the very first thing of you thought of when you thought of Halo. Like, you usually think of, you know, the story and stuff like that. But this time around, it really, 343 has been nailing that mark of just completely blowing people out of the water with how well the game looks. Like, Halo 4, I wasn't expecting to look that great. Like, it was at the time, the 360, I don't think they could have done a better job on the 360 for Halo 4. And Halo 5, they almost quadrupled what it looks like now. Like, it's insane. Like, the UI is really good in Halo 5. Like, just everything's visually appealing, which is really nice. The only thing that I think they need to work on a little bit more is their map design when it comes to colors. I think they're putting a little too much color in there. A little too, not detail, but too much fluff, I guess you can call it. I don't really know. But, no, it's absolutely insane what 343 is putting for Halo 5 visual-wise.
Yeah. I mean, it is Halo 4, they did a pretty good job, too, with the limited resources that they had on the 360. But Halo 5, they definitely did a lot of work on it.
I have a quick question, since we were talking about color. In the last update, they changed the color of the blue team.
Yes.
Has anybody had any better luck seeing the blue team?
I can.
Yes.
I've actually seen it, and that's something that I actually was really hoping to get tied into, because they don't. That's one thing I've been really wanting Halo to do for a really long time, was a colorblind mode. There's a lot of games that do it, and I benefit from it a lot. I'm a very unique individual where one eye is colorblind, the other one's not. So, it's really interesting because I can notice the blue team better than I could before. So that was something that I immediately noticed, and I even made a tweet about it. It's not that they were hidden before, like, they were just not really hard to see, but they were more of a, what's the word I'm looking for?
They just blended into the background.
Yeah, like, they were just really, really
They blended well into blended shadows.
In. Yeah, so I'm really glad that they made that change.
Prime map example? Eden.
Yes. Yes.
Well, there's a lot of blue in Eden, so yeah.
And that was the thing that they used to, whenever they made the post that they were updating the color, that was the thing where they took a heat map of Eden where certain team colors were getting killed, and there is a noticeable difference of which team got killed in certain areas because of that color difference.
Another one that I noticed right away, too, was Truth. Truth was one
yeah.
that I felt blue was really effective, but it was really hard to see red too. For me, the red seemed a little hard to get to look at sometimes. I don't know why, it just seemed that way.
I think certain maps lend to certain blends of color, and if you look at the color palettes of Halo in the past, at least I'm thinking more specifically Halo 3, that armor color against the color palette of all the maps, there's a definite like contrast there. There's a lot more contrast in there than there is in Halo 5. Halo 5 is a lot more artistically focused, where I think for something like Halo 3, they were a lot more conscientious of gameplay-wise while still having that kind of artistic feel in there, but really focusing on making sure that you're able to see the players. That's what it feels like. I did notice that there was a difference in color. Even just looking at them in the sunlight, if you're playing Warzone, you could tell that there's a definite difference in the color of blues. So, one other person that we also had on the stream as well that I forgot to mention, this is the very last one, was Pro East Joker, and he did the Legendary campaign, and that was when I slept. That was the only time I slept during the stream. So I know he skipped over to Warzone whenever he was done, so I think he played Warzone for about an hour or so before I took over, but I'm assuming everything went well. He did the Legendary campaign on our last Halo Operations Supply Drop stream, which was just kind of small, kind of as a test run type of thing. So I'm guessing he basically did the same thing.
That part I actually missed.
Yeah. So sorry, Joker. I think that was, I mean, I needed sleep.
So understandably.
That was the only sleep I had for the entire stream. It kind of sucked. But thank you to all of our hosts. Really appreciate it. Thank you to 343 as well. Unishek and Tashi and James from the product team. They all pulled through, and I was constantly nagging Uni, so I have to give him huge props for putting up with me. And yeah, I'm still nagging him on some other things right now too, so still major props for him for putting up with me through all the stuff that's going on. But
nag, 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 nag.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of how it's been. Huge thanks to them, though. They really came through, and Tashi really coming through for the pro exhibition, which was a lot of fun to watch. It was Evil Geniuses and Team Liquid. Needless to say, Evil Geniuses sweeped them pretty well. It was, I think the series ended up being 9-2. It was a best of 11 series, but they just went ahead and played all 11 games. I think it was 11 out of 11 games. Evil Geniuses won 9 and Liquid won 2. Yeah, just a bit.
Did they ever put together a total of what was raised during the stream?
So when I checked the charity thing at the end of the stream, we had $770-something, 500 of which was donated by one person who is in this chat right now. And we had 17 shirts get sold.
Cool.
So overall, that's probably close to 1,000. And we weren't really focusing this as a charity event. We would mention Operation Supply Drop and mention ways to help get involved, but the focus of this one wasn't specifically to raise money.
It was awareness.
Yeah, it was awareness. We'll probably do streams later on that will be more charity focused, but this was
Extra Life.
Yeah, I have to see if we can try to get an Extra Life Halo team going this year, but Operation Supply Drop is looking to do something with us quarterly. Don't want to. They want to, but I don't think I'm going to be up for doing a 36-hour stream every quarter. So I think that's going to be something where we'll do that once a
year. Maybe twice a year.
Maybe twice a year, more it's just kind of like an open thing. But I think for getting backing support from 343, from Megablocks, from Simon Schuster, which shout outs to them, they gave us stuff to give away. They were basically our sponsors for the event, so huge shout outs to them. And I would say if we want to do something as big as what we tried to do with this one, we'll make that one once a year, and then we'll do kind of supplement streams throughout the rest of the year. Like, we'll still reach out to communities and get other communities involved with doing stuff, but then we'll leave that big 36-hour thing to have a bunch of other communities come on, get backing support from partners and whatnot. So yes, Pins, I know I don't have to do it alone, but you know, we've asked for help and people to volunteer and no one has stepped up before. So when no one's there and you got to see it through, well, sacrifices have to be made. It was worth it. I hope we get some people to help out in the future. but all we can do is hope and pray at this point that people will step up to volunteer for stuff for Podtacular. But anyways, so that was the stream. A couple other highlights. We had our arena tournament, which went pretty well. It started an hour late, and then it went 2 hours late. So we had a 4 teams sign up, and we changed up a little bit how we did the bracket. So it was originally going to be hopefully 16 teams, single elimination bracket. We changed it to pool play, and then we took the top 2 teams from pool play and had them in finals. And it went pretty well. We had one team called the Bus Drivers who came out and won the tournament. So congratulations to them for winning. We also had Machinima and YouTube content creators come on as well. We had Thomas Productions, who is the creator behind Marlin the Elite. He made a Halo 5 Machinima specifically for the event, which was really well done, really well put together. And you may recognize some voices on there. But
may.
Yeah, you just might. There was a lot of cool things that happened in there. He was one of the first ones I talked to about getting a Machinima put together, and he came up with the script. He came up with forging everything, and he just did a great job with it. So huge kudos to him. And then we also had one other bit that was specifically made for the stream, and that was from Ultimate Halo. They made a song specifically for Operation Supply Drop. The name of the song, which I am forgetting at the moment. Now I feel really bad. Anyways, they made a song specifically for Operation Supply Drop, and that was really fun to listen to. Kenny, who's over there now, I got in touch with him, and he literally had a draft of a song back to me within 3 hours.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Yeah, he knows some people over at Rocket Gaming who they actually make a bunch of different gaming music videos. They've made 3 or 4 Halo 5 ones already. One about Warzone, one about Arena, and one about Lock and Chief. So they did a very good job with that. It was an awesome song. I think everyone really enjoyed it. And talk about a throwback to the 80s as well.
I'm going to have to go listen to it.
Yeah, there is definitely a throwback to older times in music. So, yeah. But it was still really cool. It was, it's called Making Fun. That's what it's called. But huge shout outs to them as well. And then we also had Defend the House. They let us premiere their 5th episode of Halo Mythbusters, which was cool. Another Machinimator called The Great Isaiah. He let us premiere the 1st episode of a new Machinima he's making called Butt Buddies. It's about random people that you meet up in matchmaking. We also had videos from Nightmare Films, I Spiteful, and there was one more. I think there was one more. Who was it? So Nightmare Films, Defend the House. No, that was it. That was it. So lots of cool stuff from them. It was really awesome to have them involved with it and let us share some of their stuff on the stream. I said I Spiteful, right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, so yep, that was everybody. So, cool stuff. It was a really cool stream. Thanks to everyone who participated, and thanks to everyone who was a part of it, that came out and supported it, came out and supported Operation Supply Drop. And yeah, overall, just a lot of fun. Couple of news things on the podcasting front to cover before we start to wrap this show up. It's going to be a little short tonight for the show. We are recording this on the Friday, right before Fraggin' Fridays, and we are cutting into our Fraggin' Friday time. We want to get to that as soon as possible. So, couple of new things to talk about from the perspective of community updates. We did get an update last week, which obviously we didn't cover because we were covering the Operation Supply Drop stream. They released a screenshot of Warzone Firefight, which happy. Hopefully that means it's coming in March. If they have a screenshot already.
Hopefully.
They have a screenshot already.
Hopefully.
Yes. And it looks like there's a new map too, because that screenshot, there's not a map that looks like that. So new Warzone map? Possibly.
That's new game type. So
yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait for this.
I'm wondering if it's how much like traditional Warzone is, or traditional firefight is going to be. If it's going to be really where it's that wave based, or if it's going to be more scenario based, and once you get through a certain, like to the like an end boss battle, then that's it. Or I'm curious.
I'm really hoping it's they pay more attention to the firefight aspect rather than the Warzone. Especially like, because if they nail that firefight experience like they did with, you know, I'm not expecting it completely firefight, but if they nail that experience to where they get a really decent balance between Warzone and firefight, I'd be extremely happy. I'm sure they will, especially I'm sure they've had people been testing it and, you know, fans of firefight themselves been looking at it and stuff like that. So I have a lot of faith in 343 that it will be more firefight focused. I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm hoping with that too. We'll see. So with that screenshot, hopefully it's coming in March. We'll see what happens with that. If not, it definitely looks like it'll be ready for April. Other things on the community update is there's a interview with Knockyard, who is the Griffball Forge master. And he was the one that made the Griffball court that you see in matchmaking. And for anyone that's also interested in making Griffball courts, he's made a template that you can download. And you can literally make a new Griffball map based on the template in 5 minutes, is how he's touted the template to be. So he has initial spawns, he has the court size, and it's all stuff that you can build your court around and into it. And there was a contest, or I'm not sure if it was necessarily a contest, but between Forge Hub and Griffball Hub to have people make Griffball maps for people to submit for matchmaking. So we are going to get some new Griffball maps soon-ish. I think there was testing that they were doing this past weekend while we were doing the Operation Supply Drop stream, and it'll be an update to the playlist here, not in the too distant future. So that,
I hope the Rancor match map makes it.
Which one was that one?
The Rancor map. It's actually Jabba the Hutt's lair, and the map, the actual playing field is the Rancor pit.
Nice. That's kind of cool.
It looks pretty. It looks like it's a lot of fun.
That's kind of cool.
They probably would have to change the spawns because they actually have you spawn on the second floor and you drop through a hole, but still, it looks like a lot of fun.
That's still pretty cool. A lot of the entrances to these kinds of things are really ingenious with how some of these people make entrances into maps, especially for like Griffball and stuff. But if you want to learn a little bit more about Knockyard's process and choosing the ice landscape and how he made the map, then definitely go check out the community update from last week. And we're recording this on a Friday, so there's probably a community update coming probably the same night we're recording this, but it's not out yet. I just got word that the latest cannon fodder is out. So there's actually some other news today that came out a few hours ago that we'll get to here in a minute. But in the rest of the update, they mentioned that they're still looking at rank distributions and taking community feedback on getting CSR curves and all those calculations for all that rank stuff still fine-tuned. And then Bravo put out a tweet a little bit earlier this week where they made some changes to matchmaking to where people that are ranked in some of the higher levels like champion, which none of us here will probably ever get, there's going to be some faster matchmaking times for that. So some updates on that front. There's a new like top plays video. I think it was called Skill Tacklers, the series, right? Yeah. So there's a new one of those out that came out last week, and it is featuring clips from Reddit. So if you had posted any clips up on Reddit before, then there's possibility that you might have gotten in there. They're looking at the next one doing it from Ready Up Live. So if you are part of Ready Up Live, or if you want to get in the next one, head on over to the Ready Up Live forums and submit your clips over there. And you may be featured in one of the next top plays videos, which will be pretty cool. How exciting is that? This not this past week, but the week prior, Halo Wars turned 7 years old. So that's fun.
Now I feel old.
Why is that?
It just doesn't seem that long.
I know.
It's not so young anymore.
No, it's not.
Especially for age of video games. It's getting up there. I actually played some Halo Wars on Sunday evening after I woke up and tried to catch up on sleep with Game Dude. He's actually helping me get some of the achievements on it, and we managed to get me 5 achievements on Halo Wars, and now I need 20 achievements left. So that was pretty cool. 7 being kind of a special number in the Halo universe, and Halo Wars turning 7 years old. Thought I'd throw that in there. Any Jinx apparel now that you buy comes with a rec pack. So Jinx is the official, producer of Halo graphic tees. I guess that's the technical way to do it. Like, they're the ones that are the main partner for Halo t-shirts. So there's some new ones up there for HCS and kind of Halo 5 in general. And if you buy some Halo apparel, you will get a free rec pack with it. And there is a Jinx emblem in it. So that's the only way you're going to be able to get that emblem, I think. So head on over. There's some really cool new designs over there as well. Some Lock designs, some Chief designs, some Oni designs, and then there's the two new HCS shirts for there's a blue team and a red team HCS shirt. So definitely head on over to Jinx and check those out in the Halo section. And of course, we have the Halo World Championship finals coming up in 1 week. That's going to be in Hollywood, which we're trying to get to. We don't have any confirmation on it yet, but it's something that we're trying to get possible for us to go out there and get some interviews with some of the teams and do some basic coverage on that. So hopefully that will happen. There is a new... So the thing that I mentioned earlier that just got announced today is a original comic anthology from Dark Horse. It's called Halo Tales from Slipspace, and it has some different authors in it and illustrators, and it's going to be something that's coming out in October later this year. And the little description of it is, suit up and deploy into the electrifying universe of Halo with this original comics anthology from Dark Horse. So not much in terms of what's actually in the comic books, but it sounds like it's going to be somewhat of a evolutions type of thing, where it's going to be some different, a collection of different stories from across the Halo universe. So that sounds pretty cool. Reminds me that I still haven't finished all the evolution stories yet. But that is something to check out. Its base price is $20. And that comes out on the Amazon listing, it's scheduled for October 25th right now. We'll have to see if that changes. But that is something that you can look forward to as well. That's pretty much going to cover everything tonight. We don't have much else to talk about. We're not going to do a campaign map. We're not going to be doing a multiplayer segment. We're going to be waiting until after HCS to pick those up and finish those off. One last thing too, since we were on the topic of publications, the paperback version of Halo New Blood comes out next week. So if you're looking to get one of those, if you got the digital, or if you're waiting to see if a paperback came out because you don't like digital, or if you just want a hardback or a paperback or some physical copy of it because you're a crazy collector like myself, then you'll be able to pick up a paperback copy of New Blood, which I think arguably is one of the best Halo novels since the original trilogy and probably the Ghost of Onyx. Then make sure you go and pick that one up for sure. And that's it. Thanks everybody for tuning into this short show of Podtacular. We will be back. Hopefully if we're going to Hollywood for HCS, we will not be doing a proper show for that week. We'll be doing a bunch of interviews and talking with some pros and some casters and try to get some interviews there. If we're not going, then we'll have a normal show next week, but hopefully we're going. Hopefully. And then after that, we're going to have a show with folks from the Sins of the Prophets, which is a Arma 3 mod. Or no, Sins of the Solar Empire mod. And they're basically making a huge Halo space battle simulator. It's a mod for Sins of the Solar Empire. So they've been putting a lot of work together. We wanted to get them on back last year. Things fell through, but we finally have a set date, and that's going to be the Thursday after the World Championship. So hopefully we will see you guys on that one. And then we have some other guests lined up for the shows after that one as well. But for those that are listening us to the stream, we have Fragment Fridays coming up right after this, hosted by Godzilla T. So make sure you stick around for that and get some cool Halo in, some great customs as well. Oh, I have to make a shout out since I forgot to mention one last thing that we did on the stream that I haven't mentioned yet. Halo5Remakes.com is a comprehensive collection of every single remake that has been made for Halo 5. This goes from Halo CE, 2, 3, Reach, 4. If there is a map that has been recreated, a multiplayer map, then they have the map name, they have the maker of the map, and they even have a gamer tag. I think it's Halo H5 Forge Classics, something like that. If not, it's on Halo5Remakes.com if you go there, but it redirects to a Google sheet that has a comprehensive list of Halo 5 multiplayer classic remakes with the author, and even on their gamer tag that they have as well, everything that they have listed up there for in terms of Halo 5 Halo multiplayer classic remakes, they have it in their file share bookmark. So you can just go to that gamer tag and download them all. So I'm looking forward to playing some of those because there's some really good ones in there. So thanks everyone for listening. Make sure you check out our social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all that stuff. I'm assuming GT, you have another episode of Achieving Halo coming out soon.
Yes, there will be one here shortly. I just have to corral the cats so I can get it recorded.
Sweet. And we also have some other things that we're trying to do. So once I find the time to do it or get it assigned to somebody, we're going to do a clip highlight of the week. So we're going to take people that are in our Spartan company. We'll go through their file share, see if anyone's clipped anything. And we're going to start uploading those once a week to our YouTube channel. So we actually start making some regular content. That's hopefully something that'll be interesting for you guys. And
so be hitting that record button.
Yes. If something cool happens, hit that record button. Also, we are going to, well, I don't know. I got to think on it because I really enjoyed having the tournament that we had for the Operation Supply Drop stream. I'm debating on possibly doing some kind of spring tournament for Pod Tackler. Not something that's going to be, I don't know. I've been toying around with the idea of possibly having a tournament with Pod Tackler and getting just a bunch of people involved with it. Not having to be Pod Tackler specific, but just opening it up to everyone to enter. So possibly toying around with a tournament idea. So stay tuned for that. Also, we are looking for help. Obviously, we're still lacking a community manager position. So if you have any experience with community management or you're interested, then definitely ask that you guys apply. Or if you are good with competitive and stay on top of the competitive scene, we need someone competitive so we can start doing a competitive segment on the show. We could also use someone who's great with After Effects or animation, and there's a couple other things that we need as well for Pod Tackler. But if you're interested in being a part of what we do and helping out with some of the stuff that we create or have ideas of stuff that we could create and you want to help out with, then I definitely ask that you consider applying to be a part of Pod Tackler. You can do that by heading over to podtackler.com/apply and fill out your all your info and provide your portfolio and all that good stuff. Also, make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of a group of gaming podcasts, and you can find that at podka.st. It has podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critcast, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, How to Murder Time. There may be another one over there. I've seen some stuff pop up on the podcast Twitter about something new. I need to go check that out, but there might be a new one that's snuck in there without my knowledge. But definitely go check them out. Really cool podcast, really good folks on those podcasts. So please make sure you check them out and let them know that we support you and let them know that you support them. That's going to be it for us now. Hopefully we'll see you guys on Fragment Fridays. If not, we will see you on our next live podcast, which may be next week or may not be next week and be the week after. But whatever it is, thanks to everyone for tuning in. Thanks to everyone who was a part of our Operation Supply Drop Spartan for Troops stream, for everyone who streamed, for everyone who participated, for everyone who made some small part of it happened. We thank you all for all the support that you gave us. We thank you all for everything that you were able to do to help support us, support the troops, and most importantly, support the Halo community. So until then, keep on fragging the community.